Tonight's going to be one of the toughest times in my teaching in ministry. And the reason is because I might offend some people. I didn't put the scriptures there. The Holy Spirit put them there. So I must speak what God says in His Word. So if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 9 tonight. As we referred to last week on our lesson, Paul the Apostle not only talked about the importance of praying for the lost and winning the lost to Jesus Christ, but Paul now is going to be dealing with some of the problems, as we saw in the first chapter, concerning heresy and false doctrines and the problems that they were facing even in their own time there in the city of Ephesus. Diana, the goddess, was, they were worshiping Diana, the goddess, the one that was the multi-breasted woman. And they would have 1,000 prostitutes. They would come down into the city, like in the city of Corinth, and would seduce the men, you know, to have immoral relationships with them. And at the same time, you had the church of Jesus Christ there in the city of Ephesus, and Paul had left Timothy there to oversee the church. And young Timothy was not only watching what was going on and having some really tough times in his own personal life. And Paul is writing to him and really sharing with him how he really needs to speak the truth of God to the people of God. The title of the message tonight will be The Role of Women in the Church. What kind of a role does a woman play in the church? Because there are many men, and there are many women, and of course we have the Women's Liberation Movement. They were started, by the way, by two lesbians. And it's really important that we understand that Paul and Jesus and Peter and John, none of them were ever against women. And I'm not against women. Because Jesus loved women, and He had a role for the women to play in the church. One of the things that Paul is going to be addressing here in the second chapter of the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 9 through 15. In chapter 8, he deals with the men, and the role of the men in the church is they are to be leaders in leadership of prayer, in the teaching of the Word of God, and being role models in their homes, to their children, to their wives, and you know, all these things that men have to do. But then at the same time, the women have a role to play even in their own home. And Paul is going to refer here to adult women, single women, married women, and widows in the church. Especially when it comes to that whole situation that, you know, they say, well, you know, Paul didn't really like women. Oh no, yes he did. He was not a male chauvinist. And he was accused for that. And many theologians accuse Paul for that, but he was not. Paul the Apostle, it is believed, because he was a Pharisee, and according to being a Pharisee and being in the Sanhedrin, the 72 that governed and rulership in Israel, they would have to be married in order to be in the Sanhedrin and to be a Pharisee. History tells us that Paul the Apostle either lost his wife when he came to Christ and she left him because he was a Christian now, or Paul's wife died before he came to Christ and he was a widow. And Paul never ever got married again. He just dedicated his whole life to proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and discipling men like Titus, men like Timothy, and others that are mentioned in the Bible. And what's really interesting here is that Paul the Apostle wants to make sure that you understand that everything he received was by the Holy Spirit, by inspiration of the Spirit. As God gave His Word, they wrote down the Word of God in order to teach the Word of God to people that wanted to hear it. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the men of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And then Paul the Apostle in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, again, he speaks to women. And now it's not Paul, but it's Peter. Listen to what he says. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without the word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Peter wants to make sure that those Christian wives, they have non-believer husbands, not to put the pressure on them and not to just witness to them, but to make sure that you're living for Christ and through your testimony and your conduct in the home and in the church, your husband will come to know the Lord because of that. Not by your preaching. Then he goes on to say this. And when they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment of merely outward arranging of hair and wearing of gold and putting on fine dress. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Paul is saying here, don't get your husband nervous. Okay? He's saying, be careful what you say to him. Don't pressure him. Don't nag him to death. Be careful what you do, especially if he's a non-believer. Peter wanted to make sure that we understand, and he's actually speaking of that outward adornment, you know, dressing up and looking good, you know, for your husband. And we're going to talk a lot about that in a second, okay? So we'll just go on. Verse 4. He says, and rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious out of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also dressed themselves, but being submissive to their own husbands. To their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. And you're saying, I'm not going to say amen to, I'm not going to call him my Lord. He doesn't deserve it. He's a creep. But you see, here he's talking about Sarah, how she submitted to the Lord, to her husband, because she was in submission to what? To the Lord, because her husband was the head of the home. To the Lord. The word that they use submission here, to submit, is hupotasso. It's to be underneath. It's actually a military term. It's to be underneath. When he talks about husband and wives being in submission to one another, he's saying both are to be, you're under orders and you need to be obedient to the chief commander, which is Jesus Christ. Because he's the one that's going to judge you. You see? And this is really important. And in verse 7, he has only one verse for husbands here, and he did 6 verses for the women. But in Ephesians, he has a whole list for husbands, so don't worry about that. We'll get to them later. And then verse 7, he says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Interesting. That a husband's prayers can be hindered if you're not being understanding and giving honor to your wife. If you're mistreating her and you're treating her like trash, your prayers will be hindered. One of the things that we need to understand is that God has given us wives. And I really believe that, you know, if you're single tonight and you don't have a wife, you should not seek after a wife. I tell young kids all the time, I don't think they should date. I think they should just wait on the Lord, because you don't really know who is going to give you, the Lord's going to give to you. And if you go with someone that the Lord has not given to you, and then you break up, you wasted all that time. Plus money. Might as well just wait on the Lord and see what the Lord has for you. You don't want to make a mistake. You want to be in God's perfect will. But a lot of times, you know, men are looking in the outward, and sometimes women too are looking in the outward, and we're living in a very physical world today, in a very physical society, where they're telling you, you know, what to eat and how to exercise and what to look like and what to squeeze into. You see? I was amazed going to the mall. You know, my wife, you know, she doesn't like to be in the mall. I thank God for that. But I've seen women that like to go to the mall, and what they like to do, you know, when I go to the mall, I just kind of, I know what I want. Of every color, whatever, I know exactly what I want. It takes me 5 minutes to buy what I want. But then when women go shopping, they meander in one store for an hour and a half in one department. And I thought, man, that's a long time. But listen, when you walk into these stores, the department is not just a little department. They have so much for women and so little for men. Why? Because women are the shoppers when it comes to clothes and styles. Nothing wrong with that. But the problem is that here, now Paul talking to Timothy with the problem that's going on in the church of Ephesus. You have these prostitutes that are living in the city and they don't dress very nice. And so what happens is that the men are being not only bothered by it, but they're being tested by it and they're being tempted by it. And Paul is saying too, you know, if you're the wife of a husband that is a Christian, you know, it's not looking sloppy, being in style, that's cool, but really it's not the outward form, it's the inward form that counts the most, the heart. The heart. Listen, Dr. McGee said, if the house needs painting, paint it. That's what he said, I didn't say that. But that's true. It's really important that a lot of times, as he's going to tell us in a moment here, let's look at verse 9 so I don't get ahead of myself. In verse 9 he says, of 1 Timothy chapter 2, 9. He says, in likewise manner, he's referring back to verse 8 where he spoke to men what they needed to be, and that was men of prayer. He says that women adorn themselves in modest dress with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair and gold and pearls and costly clothing. Very interesting what he says here. You know, there are different things that we have to go sometimes. If I have to go to a formal, I dress formal. If I have to go to something casual, I dress casual. Paul is actually saying here that we need to be careful that we don't spend all of our time on the way we look compared to our time in spending with God, because the most important thing is not the way we look outwardly, but inwardly before the Lord. He's telling that to women here. Because he's saying here that the word that he uses here for adorn, we get our English word cosmetics. Okay? The word here. It literally means cosmeo. It means to arrange, to make ready. We get the word cosmetic. It's actually looking cheap or needy. Okay? When you look at a person. Paul is saying here that these women were spending more time putting gold on and stuff on their hair and looking so sexual that they were actually making people stumble in the church. Today we have that problem. There have been many times men have come to me and said, hey, can you preach? You know what? I'm not the Holy Spirit. I don't do that. The Holy Spirit has to convict you. But tonight we're dealing with it, so I'm going to tell you some of the things. Because it's really important that we're living in a generation, in a time where everything is skin. The more skin, the better that you show. And people are not embarrassed today to show off their bodies, to show cleavage, to show whatever they have to show. They don't care today. But one of the things we have to remember, we're not at the local bar. We're not really in a place. We're coming to the house of the Lord. And Paul is teaching here, Timothy, when people come to the house of the Lord, especially women, make sure they don't make other men stumble in the church by the way they dress and by the way they look. By wearing all the gold and all the pearls, nothing wrong with wearing gold or pearls. But look modestly, you see, to look godly, not cheap, as a prostitute. Let me read to you from the book of Proverbs. Go to chapter 5 of Proverbs. Solomon talks about that woman. In Proverbs chapter 5, he begins. He says in chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, he says, "For the lips of an immoral woman drip like honey, her mouth is smoother than oil." He says, "But at the end she is bitter than wormwood, sharper than a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay a hole of hell. Unless you ponder her path of her life, her ways are unstable and you do not know them." He's talking about a woman that looks like a prostitute by the way she wears her makeup and by the way she dresses. And what she's doing is she's bringing attention to herself, and the way she's dressing is to bring attention to herself, but also to seduce and to get that man, whether it be somebody else's husband or single man, whoever it may be. Watch what he says. Verse 7. "Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not let depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the cruel ones, lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labor go to the house of the foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and your body are consumed." That's speaking of a venereal disease. Venereal disease. Like AIDS. Herpes. Okay? "And say, how have I heard instruction? In my heart despise correction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instruct me. I was on the verge of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation." Because this young man went down to this whore, what happened? He lost everything plus his own life. You see? It's really important that we understand what the Bible says about a woman that has to be modest and a woman that is godly. Not by the way she dresses, not by the way she looks, but her characteristics come as what? As she gives herself to the Lord and she serves the Lord and she loves the Lord. That's what matters. Because beauty goes away pretty fast. You see? That's why today we have such a difficult problem, you know, in Hollywood and, I mean, in L.A. and in many, you know, parts of the country today and all the world. Where women, 40-year-old women, are trying to look like 21-year-old and 50-year-old women trying to look like 30-year-old. So they go and they get every type of operation so they can look just like their daughters and be just like them. You'll never be that way. Just accept it. That's what God says. You're going to get old. You're going to get old. We're all going to get old. Some of these guys, you know, they're trying to look like these 21-year-old guys, you know, with big physiques, but, you know, this big old chest and it's all down here and they're trying to lift it up. You can't do it. It's over. Receive it. Accept it. Be happy. Eat more donuts. I'm kidding you. Don't try to keep up with the world. Don't try to keep up with, you know, your daughter or whoever it may be. Be what God has made you to be. Read the Bible. What does the Bible say? He has a lot to say about that woman that looks cheap and looks like a whorish woman. Look what else he says. In verse 20 of chapter 5, he says, "For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of a seductress? For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord," which means what? God sees everything, "and he ponders all his paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked man, and he is caught in the words," notice, "in the courts of the sin, and he shall die because he lacks instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray." But check this out. In verse 15 through verse 19, he talks to the husband about adultery. "Be satisfied with your wife that God gave to you." Read it. Look what he says. "Drink water from your own cisterns, running waters from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad?" He's talking to the men. You want to have children all over the place? You know, there's a lot of men that do that. And then they don't take care of those children. Here he says, verse 16, should your fountain be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth, the first wife he gave to you. You see? Today we have second and third and fourth wives and even five wives. You know? Watch what he says. He says, as a loving deer and graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be in rapture with her love. Don't let that love kindle out. Keep the fire going. When that fire goes out, then what happens? You'll look somewhere else and you'll be entrapped. And yet, Paul is telling us, and Timothy, he's telling Timothy, and Solomon tells us that there are women in the church and outside of the church that are looking for men as bait by the way they dress. They want to be looked at. They want to seduce. They have certain moves they do, you know. There's certain things they do. You know, I've been there, I know. Chapter 6. I didn't grow up in Sunday school. Chapter 6, verse 24. He says, again, he's talking, he's bewaring of adultery in verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Let them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you get up in the morning, know that they'll speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and a light. Reproofs of instruction are way of life to keep you, notice, from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Look what pornography does to men. Women that sell their bodies to make money, you know, on the phone, magazines. I mean, it's sad, it's terrible, horrible. They use young girls. And yet, you know, the guys that are behind that are becoming millionaires. And yet you use somebody else as a slave to sex. Here's Solomon says, Solomon's an expert on this. He says, for by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Think about that. How many men have fallen in the slaughter just because a woman looks whorish and he's pulled by her and he'll fall with her? Just for a moment's time. Think of all the sailors, Marines, Army, Air Force, Navy, overseas. And they come back with venereal diseases and then spread it to their wives. I've been there. I know. I'm telling you. Solomon knew what he was talking about. Look what he says. Verse 27. Do you think a man can take fire in his bosom and his clothes not get burned? You think you're going to get away with it? No way. Can one walk on hot coals and not his feet get burned? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. We've had cases here at Calvary Chapel. Couples have come in and said, my wife was sleeping with my neighbor. Pretty heavy. And it's so sad. And we've had people here at Calvary Chapel and probably in every church. People that have been here with their wives and husbands and some other woman has come along or some other guy and they have seduced each other and from here they have connected somewhere else and they've been in adultery and they've been meeting together in sexual contact and the wife didn't know until she found out. And we've had wives come in and say, my husband came home and gave me a venereal disease. That's not fair. That's not fair. That's why the Word of God is so powerful and warns us to be careful what we do. It's important for women not to come to church looking good just so they can be seen or to seduce a man that is here in the church. God will judge you big time. I'm telling you right now. And that will go for men too. You don't know what you're doing, man. You're coming into the house of the Lord and you're trying to seduce a sister or brother. God will get to you quickly. God warns us to really be careful what we do. He goes on, chapter 7, verse 6. He says, "For at the window of my house I looked through the lattice, and I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding." Here's a young man, 16, 17 years old, and here's a prostitute that's going to get him. Notice, a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner. And he says, and he took the path of her house, and in the twilight, in the evening, in the black, dark night. And there a woman met him with an attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. She's always on the road, always gone, looking for men. At times, she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking in every corner. So she caught him and she kissed him. With an impudent face, he said to him, I mean, she was all decked out. You know, the whole makeup, all dressed up. And she just caught him and kissed him. And look what he says. He said, I have peace offering with me, my son. Today, I have paid my vows. What do you mean? She had just got off her period. He says, now you can come home with me. Watch this. I have peace offerings today with me. I pay my vows so I can now. Notice, now you can come and meet with you diligently to seek your face. I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry. Notice this. She fixes it up. Colored my coverings with Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. And I have come. Let us take our fill of love into the morning. That word love is not marriage love, it's eros love, physical love, lustful love. One night. Come and let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. Listen, for my husband is not at home. She's a married woman. A married woman playing on her husband while he's out on a journey, on a trip, or working at nights. She's inviting her lover in. He has gone on a long journey and he's taken a bag of money with him and he will come home on an appointed day. Notice with her enticing speech, she catches him and he yields with her flattering lips. She seduces him and immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, until an arrow struck his liver. A bird hastened to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. He's going to die. Imagine that. And now therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside in her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. They were not weakling men. These were strong men. Men of integrity. Men who thought they had it all together, they got seduced by this woman at the job, at the gym, at the mall, wherever it may be, in the bar. You see? Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. You see? Every person she comes to, she sends them to hell. With her seductions. That's why Paul here is instructing Timothy. Timothy, listen, he says to the women, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest things. Don't be showing your belly in church. Don't wear tight pants so you can see everything. Don't put all kinds of makeup so you look like a doll. I'm just going to be honest. But how beautiful it is when you look at a woman in her 30s or 40s or 50s and she looks modest. She's not trying to impress anybody. She's not sloppy. She keeps up with herself in her age and she acts her age. People respect that more because she's a godly woman. And I want to say this tonight. There are a lot of godly women here in this church. I thank God for that. A lot of godly women. And it's really important. That's why we have a women's ministry here, because the women come and they hear from these godly women that God has raised up here, and not only young women, but older women. They've been through a lot. They can share a lot with the women. You see, that's why we have it on Tuesday nights, Tuesday mornings, Tuesday nights, so that women can come with women and they can share with one another. But here Paul is saying to these women, listen, make sure you're not just into cosmetics by the way you look. It's really important the way you dress for the situation. If you're going to come to church, come modestly. We're not talking about suits and ties or, you know, going out and buying expensive clothes. He says, don't do that. Look good, but be modest. Be in style, but be modest. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't let people think of you something else that you're not by the way you look. That's what Paul says. Be careful, because people might get the wrong idea. It's really important that we listen to the counsel here that Paul has for each one of us and each woman here tonight. It's really important, as Paul says here, that she would dress properly, not desiring to impress sexually or to allure a man to herself. Maybe you're going through a divorce or separation. We've had this happen before, where women that are separated from their husbands, waiting for the divorce, and before the divorce comes, they're already looking for somebody else, or they already have somebody else even before they're divorced. That's not good. That's not right according to the Word of God. And if you do that, you're an adulterer. You see? You're a fornicator. And you will not inherit the kingdom of God. How can God bless that? How can God bless something, the way you dress and what you're doing, when your husband's not even divorced from you yet, and yet you're going to bed with somebody else over here already, or you're already dating? You haven't even waited on the Lord to see if God wants to get you back with your husband or your wife. That's not right. That's not biblical. That's sin. And that's why Paul here shares, because it was going on in the city of Ephesus. It's going on today here. Same thing. Look at all the fashions in Hollywood. Look at all the fashions in the stores. When you walk in, everything is getting more skimpier, you know, and more skin. You watch some of these rap people, the rappers, you know, the way they dress. And our young people want to be like them. That's the problem. You see? The actual commercial, you know, industry today of clothing, they're making millions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Because every 6 months, man, the styles are changing. And there's not one style like there used to be. Not two. There's hundreds of styles today. You can be whatever you want to be. You can be whatever you want to be. You see? We're living in the last days. Days of sexuality. Days of adultery, days of fornication, pornography, all these things, the abuse of women on television, you see. It's really important that Paul says here, be careful. If you want to be really a woman of God, then be careful how you look and how you dress. Make sure, he says, that your women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation. That is what he's saying here. When he used that word propriety here, he's concerned with what causes you to not only bring, you know, a person, what is causing you to either make a man lust after you or to think of you as a godly woman, you see? And then the word moderation here, he's talking about, you know, the cause of your emotions. You know what? You want to be a godly woman. You don't want to be thought of cheap as a woman and give the wrong idea to people when they see you. But you want to be known as a Christian woman. One that fears God. One that prays to God. One that worships God. You want to make sure that you are a great mother in your home and a great wife to your husband. You know? And that you please your husband in the way you look. Because, you know, there are women that don't take care of themselves. You know? And they stumble their husbands, and their husbands go out and look at somebody else. I think that we have to keep with age, and at the same time, we have to be sensitive to one another. And as you get older, you accustom to each other. And at the same time, the husband can help the wife can help the husband. God gave you both each other to help each other as a helpmeet. It's really important, because otherwise we see so many people stumble and they go out and they mess their whole lives up because things are happening in their homes. That's why it's really important that the marriage is strong, that the relationship is strong, and that you trust each other. Because whether we like it or not, there are Delilahs in the church. The same one that brought down Samson. You see? There are women like that. And in the ministry is really dangerous, and it's in churches are very dangerous. It's not just in the world. In churches, think of how many pastors, how many leaders, and how many people in the church have fallen because of sex. They've been lured out. They've been destroyed. I would hate to be a woman, actually, the one that is seducing a pastor, a man of God, or an elder, or a deacon, or anybody in the body of Christ. Because what you have done is you've come into the house of the Lord, which is the place of worship and the study of God's word, and you've come in with your own desires and your own appetites, and you're lurking and you're looking for someone to what? To actually prey on, and then to deceive them and to lure them out of the church. That's not good. God will deal with that person. I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. Because God warns us concerning these things. In the book of Isaiah chapter 3, listen to what God says to women. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. He says this, "Moreover, the Lord says, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with outstretched necks." This is talking to the women of Israel. They were puffed up and they were trying to get men. He says, "And wanton eyes, and walking in micing as they go, making a light, a jingling with their feet." They have these bracelets on their feet. "Therefore the Lord will strike with a scab the crown of the head and the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will uncover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the finery and the jingling ankles and the scarves and their crescents and their pendants and their bracelets and their veils and their headdresses and the legs ornaments and their headbands and their perfume boxes and their charms and their rings and their nose jewels and their festal dress and their mantles and the outer garments and their purses and their mirrors and their fine linen and their turbans and their robes." Notice the judgment of God on these women. They were literally trying to look for men in that time. God judged them. "I will take it away from you. I will judge you." This is why it's so important to understand that if you're going to be in the church, you know, and we're going to fellowship in the church, let us come into the house of the Lord with fearing God, and at the same time be careful that we're not drawing attention to ourselves and we're not having men stumble over us. Peter said that it's not the outward beauty, it's the inward beauty. And some of you women are beautiful outwardly, and I hope you're beautiful inwardly too. You see? Because sometimes a woman can be beautiful outside and really ugly inside. And I tell these young guys, you know, don't look at the outward, look at the inward. You can be deceived. It's really important that we understand what God says concerning the choosing of a mate and to what to look for. And it's not to look for all kinds of skin and to, you know, look sexy. That's not what you want to look at. But you want to look at that woman. How much does she love God? How much does she love her children, her husband? And if you're single, you're totally dedicated to the Lord, and you're not looking for men. You're looking for one man as God brings that man to you, and you're going to marry him for the rest of your life. And he has to be a godly man. Because otherwise you're going to have nothing but problems. And that's what the Bible teaches us. To really be careful, because if not, you will get yourself in big trouble. Look what else he says. He says, "Adorning themselves with modest dress and propriety and moderation, not with braided hair and gold pearls and costly clothing." Notice what he says here. It's not, you know, I mean, there's a lot of women, I mean, in different churches, you know, they have some hairdos that, man, it's just, they bring so much attention to themselves, you know, sticking up all over the place and all these things on their hair, you know. I mean, that's cool, but, you know, it's bringing attention to yourself. Nothing wrong with hairdos, you know. Nothing wrong with that. But he says here again, are you trying to bring attention to yourself by the hair that you have and by the gold that you put in your hair and the bracelets that you wear and the jewelry you wear? We have to be modest in what we do, he says here. Really important. Then check this out. This is so cool. Verse 10. He says, but what is proper for women professing godliness with good works? Look what he says here. Women are being tested, and what is that? The woman has to show her attitude, and what is her attitude? Godliness. Living according to godliness. You want to be, and you want to impress God, not men. You see? You want to be pleasing to the Lord, and by good works. By good works, he says here. Here he's talking about showing your devotion to God in your works, not to men. You're involved in the church. You're involved in Sunday school. You're involved in the women's ministry. You know, you're a godly woman. You take care of your husband. You take care of your home. You take care of your children. You love your husband. You love your children. And people can see that. Your neighbors can see that. You see? But if you're not doing those things and you're all into yourself and you're trying to seduce and you're trying to get somebody else's husband, or you're just trying to make people stumble, then God says that's wrong. Then you're not godly and you don't have good works. You see? No good works. And God says to that woman, I will judge you. I will deal with you. Because think of how many women in churches tonight have seduced men of God and have destroyed their lives and their families. Think about that. When you take a man for yourself from another woman, you're destroying him, plus the wife and the children and the grandchildren and brothers and sisters and friends. You destroy. It's like domino effect. It's not just you. It's everybody. And God says he will deal with people like that. If you find yourself in a situation where you took somebody else's husband, you came to the Lord now, hey, God forgives you. He's cleansed and washed you, but don't do it again. Don't do it again. And if you're here tonight and you have a problem with your wardrobe and you're dressing up to go to work or to go anywhere else to impress and to actually have people look at you and to make you, you know, lust after you, be careful what the Bible says. You need to check your motive. You need to check your heart. You need to be a godly woman, one that God is looking at and one that God is going to bless as you do what God says in his word. Because if not, God will have to deal with you personally. And then check this out, verse 11. And let a woman learn in silence with all subjection. You say, what in the world is that? Well, you'll have to be here next Wednesday. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercies. And Lord God, we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that tonight you would continue to move in our hearts, Father. And thank you, Lord, for the beautiful women in this church, the godly women, Father, that are here. Lord, we pray for all the women in Calvary Chapel and all the churches around us, Father, in the world. And Father, that you would deal with those women that have the wrong motive. That you would deal with them in such a way, Father, that they would repent, that they would change. Not only their inward, but outward form, Lord God. And Father, that you turn them into beautiful women. Women that will be used by you to bring glory and honor to your name, God. And I pray, Father, tonight that you just forgive us, God, for our sins. Cleanse us and wash us by your blood. And Father, we don't come to church dressed so that we can impress. We come because we come to worship you, Lord. Because some people have it, some people don't have money, Lord. Father, you look at the heart of men and women. How we thank you for that, Jesus. And I wonder if there's anybody here tonight that is not a Christian. Somebody invited you. You came on your own. I always like to give an opportunity for salvation. If you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want to turn into, you know, your heart over to the Lord, you want Him to refresh you, you want Him to cleanse and wash you by His blood, to write your name in the book of life, to give you the assurance that if you would die tonight, you would go to heaven, then you need to repent of your sins. You need to come by faith in Jesus Christ, and He'll forgive you, and He'll cleanse and wash you, and He'll save you. If there's anybody here tonight that would like to have Christ, I want you to stand to your feet, walk out onto the aisle, walk down the aisle, and come up here to the front and stand here, and we're going to pray for you. Those of you that have come, I want you to pray with me this prayer. Repeat after me and ask Jesus Christ into your hearts, okay? Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please forgive me, Lord, for all of my sins. I confess to you that I have sinned against you. I ask you to cleanse me, wash me by your blood, and I receive you by faith as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to give you a Bible, you guys. Go right over there, okay? Follow through there. Cool. They're going to give you a Bible and some literature. That's neat. That's cool. I love it.